Matthew 16. In just a few moments, we'll read from verses 24 through 27, one of the greatest passages on discipleship in all the Bible. And this actually is where we will begin a series. It's a five-part series that we begin today. I'm real excited on this topic of discipleship. And we'll see in just a little while why I titled this series simply Pioneer. And I know that's just a beautiful picture, but it portrays the frontier and the pioneers in American history that left the original colonies and went westward to expand and to leave behind things and just start settling. And that's, when I think of pioneer, that's what I think of. But as we'll see in a little bit, pioneer is what we have all been called to be and to do as believers. And I'm real excited because in five Sundays, this will be a five-part series today. It'll take us through the fifth Sunday from now. And the students have started working on a little play. It's kind of, you call it an illustrated sermon or a mini play, but it's more than a skit, but it will be on the calling of Moses and how Moses in his wilderness journey actually was being discipled by God himself in his various experiences. So I'm real excited that as we are on this topic for 4 weeks, on the fifth week, it will just culminate in this beautiful play that the students have started working on for about 2 weeks. And I'm real excited. I think you're really going to enjoy it and be blessed by it. So, I refer to Moses as I refer to other disciples in the Bible, as well as disciples today. By the way, there are still disciples in the world today. Amen. As believers, we are disciples. And I refer to Moses and others throughout Old and New Testament in the Bible, just as I refer to disciples today, pioneer. A pioneer who is on a journey. And by the way, I really like this definition that I'm about to give you of pioneer. Because when you think of pioneer, that's what I think of. In the history books, you open the book, there's a picture of this. And what is this? This is the westward expansion on the frontier. But I really love this following definition of pioneer. And I believe it really speaks to what the next 4 weeks will look like for us. So hear this definition of pioneer. A person who is the first to settle a region. A person who is the first to open or prepare a way. And isn't that what Jesus called us to do? To prepare the way. John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. And this was the mission of all the pioneers throughout the Bible. They were to go where no man has gone before. They were to take the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Be a pioneer in your endeavors and in your ministry. Discipleship, it's a journey that each believer must make through the wilderness of this life. Which wilderness of life? If you don't know it by now, I'm not even going to say that, because you all know it by now, that this life is a wilderness. Can I get a witness? This life is a wilderness. It is a frontier land just filled with obstacles and setbacks and failures and more questions than we have answers. And it just requires absolute perseverance. Life requires absolute perseverance. And throughout the New Testament, including this text we'll read in just a moment, Jesus called his disciples, of which there were hundreds of disciples. If you're like me at one point in life, you might have thought, well, I thought there were only 12 disciples. And there were 12 original apostles. We know that. But do you realize that even when Jesus walked the earth and he chose 12, he chose those 12 from among possibly dozens or hundreds of people that were following Jesus and said, I believe in this man. I believe what he's saying. And Jesus, throughout the New Testament, called hundreds of people to follow him into a frontier, a wilderness of life where anything can happen. And anything that can happen did happen then. And anything that can happen will happen today. And that's not a negative statement. It could be a positive statement, but it's a truthful statement. In our lives of serving the Lord as a disciple, anything that can happen will happen. And that's true. The word disciple means this, a learner or a pupil. It's one who has learned many lessons from life, but is not necessarily defined by his past. That's why I'm excited about looking at the life of Moses on the fifth week and how that Moses could have just shut down everything that God wanted to do in his life, but he decided not to be defined by his past failures. And that's what qualified him as a disciple. But a disciple, although is a learner, it's not just a learner. He or she is also an adherent that imitates his teacher. A disciple imitates Jesus. We imitate Jesus. What he says, what he does, how he thinks, how he acts, how he loves. We are called as disciples. And that means we're called to imitate our ultimate teacher, which is Jesus. So let us look now at Matthew 16, 24 through 27. And look and notice how Jesus defines a disciple. Read with me if you would. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Pray with me, please. Father, again, thank you for this word. Thank you for your power, your Holy Spirit that's among us. Be our teacher, we pray, over these next few moments as we delve in. Let us see what we need to see. Hear what only you can speak. Amen. When I read this passage, and in light of sort of that, the introduction, talking about a pioneer or the wilderness or the frontier, I think one word from this passage, and by the way, the other Gospels record this same story. This is Matthew, but Mark also tells the same story. Luke, physician, same story, same identical story. But what I think of from each of these stories, like this one in Matthew 16 that we read, where Jesus, you know, he says, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to follow me, it's going to require something from you, and it's not going to be easy either. Following me, he says, you've got to deny yourself, you've got to take up your cross, you've got to follow me. But do you know the one word that comes to my mind when I think of this passage in regards to being a disciple or being a pioneer? I think that a disciple is a traveler. A traveler. You ever known a traveler? You ever been a traveler? Well, many people have, and many are not, but I want to tell you something. Being a traveler, spiritually speaking, from this text here, doesn't necessarily mean going to different geographical areas. You can have the spirit of a traveler right where you live every single day of your life. Ready for the adventure that God leads you into. Ready and eager to serve Him and not know what to expect today, because you know that you're following Christ. And you say, well, I don't know. And maybe the word, okay, so maybe you think traveler. I know that kind of turns me off. I don't want to, you know, be a gypsy, or I don't want to. And some people have done that. Some people have been called of God, and they travel, and they minister, and they have a mission, and they just go around for a while. And I'm not saying that's bad, but for a lot of people, they think, that's not me. I want roots, and I want to be grounded. But I want to tell you that being a traveler, it's no reflection on being able to be rooted and yet have the spirit of a disciple, the spirit of a traveler, because a traveler is simply a pioneer. The word pioneer, this is so awesome. The word pioneer, did you know it's not even in the Bible? And we're talking about it today. The word pioneer, it's not even in the Word of God, but the word pioneer embodies how God has called us to live our lives. You can be a pioneer planted at the same job for 20 years, have that same spirit of adventure and pioneer, and I'm going to follow Christ Jesus. I hope everyone understands. I'm not saying God's called us to be a pioneer, meaning to, you know, that we're not settled, we're not rooted. I'm not saying that at all. The word pilgrim, you've heard that word. And it's not the Thanksgiving type of pilgrim either. The word pilgrim is in the Bible. In fact, it occurs twice in there. And guess what this word means when you look it up in the dictionary, in the Bible dictionary? That word pilgrim means traveler. How about that? It means a wayfarer or traveler. And a disciple, let's be real clear. From this passage, Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a disciple, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to be willing to go on this journey, if you will. And this journey of discipleship is not to be confused with a rapid sprint. A rapid sprint. How many of you have ever competed like in some kind of race? This is not in my notes, by the way, a race. You know, I got real eager one time about a track. And I thought, I think I could jump over those hurdles. You know, the little hurdle things they put on the track. And some of them, they start out this high for us short people. And then the other ones are up higher. And I was just going. And before you know it, your foot catches that. And that's a bad morning. And then the other type of races, you know, you've got your fast, your dash. Go, and you've got to run a short distance in a short amount of time. Then there's other races. Some of you have competed in some of these, like they call the 5K or the whatever. A long way is what I call it. A long journey. But that is a marathon. That is a journey that requires perseverance. And it's not like the quick jolt that is required for running a short distance. But it requires endurance, which requires stamina and requires perseverance. You've trained and you've not gotten to this point to be able to run 3 miles or 5 miles overnight. You've prepared. And folks, a disciple of whom Jesus is calling, let a man deny himself. That does not happen overnight. A man or a woman does not say, here is my whole life, typically overnight. It starts a process where you say yes to Jesus. And then He leads you. He leads you and begins leading you in this process we call discipleship. He is one passing on a path, a wayfaring man, a person that, having given Jesus their life, embarks on a journey, not a sprint, but a marathon. It requires endurance. Requires perseverance, sometimes requires stubbornness in the face of so many things in life. The first way a disciple is a traveler is in verse 24, which we read. The first way, how is a disciple a traveler? I don't get it. A pioneer, what does that mean? Well, the first way that a disciple is a traveler is by denying himself. And those are the very words of Jesus. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me or follow after me or go the way I'm going, let him deny himself. Which Jesus is saying self-denial is going to be required. If you're going to follow me, Jesus said self-denial, just know right out of the gate, that is what's going to be required of all my disciples, of all of my pioneers. And self-denial means, very simply, to completely reject and disown your own life. I don't know about you, but for me, that doesn't sound like fun at all. It doesn't sound like a fun life. So Jesus, you're saying if I'm going to come after you, I just have to reject my own life and disown my own life? And the Lord would say, yes, that's what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to no longer trust in your own ability or trust in your own works or trust in your own comforts or security. I'm calling you to completely reject what you bring to the table. And this requires a high level of surrender. I'm thinking everybody understands that. A very high level of surrender is required, because self-denial is not easy. A pilgrimage into this process where I've got to deny myself. Paul, the apostle, says, I die how often? Daily, in 1 Corinthians 15. And so for him, we know it's not a one-time thing. It's a process. It's a process of life. Discipleship, it's a pioneer on a journey into a land. And for Abraham, he didn't even know where he was going, but he was obedient, said yes, and he followed the Lord. How did he do that? He denied himself. Self-denial, it really invades our natural tendencies, because it causes us to change our views on what I want from my life or the timeline of my goals. We all have goals. Every one of us have goals. Some goals are radical. Other goals are simply just to lose 5 pounds, or there's all sorts of goals, and we all have them. But here's the thing. When I come to Christ as a disciple in search of a master of the light of the world, when I come to him, I have to be willing to deny myself of my goals and my process and my ways, what I want for my life, the type of people I am comfortable with, how I conduct myself, how I treat others. All that requires self-denial. And even my perspective on God has to be called into question. Because the God that I have been taught about, the God that I have maybe followed or admired, maybe that's not the way God really is. And I have to be willing to say, God, I have thought of you this way, but now in Christ Jesus, I see you as a Father, not just a Creator. And my whole perspective changes. And this is what Christ is calling his people, his followers, to do. Christ is calling us to travel onward into a frontier. The second way a disciple is a traveler is also in verse 24, by taking up his cross. Taking up your cross is really the ultimate self-denial. And what I mean by that is, we all know what a cross is. The cross, we know what happens on a cross. There's one right there. We all know what happens on a cross, or what happened, shall I say, on a cross. Execution. A very brutal death that lasted a long time and inflicted an enormous amount of pain. And Jesus was really setting his sights on that big city of Jerusalem, saying, in going up to Jerusalem, I know what's going to happen to me, but yet I've denied myself. And I'm willing to take up that cross. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to take up your cross to face the death of your own self before you could ever find life in me. And if there is one thing we know about a person who takes up his cross, is that he's going to be carrying it on a journey. There's one thing that, as the late Reverend Leonard Ravenhill said it so well. He said, there's one thing we know about a man that's leaving town carrying a cross, is that he will not be returning, because he's going to face his own death. And yet Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. What is he saying? He's saying you must die. You must be willing to die to your old life, your old patterns of thinking. If anyone will be a traveler after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. I think of Jesus' example of taking up his cross being one that all disciples must follow. In fact, let's look back in the same chapter, a few verses. Verse 21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus' example, his own example of taking up his cross, saying, this is what I have to do, this is the ultimate self-denial, that is one that he gave us as a pattern for us all to follow, to take up my cross. Jesus probably would have rather not gone to Jerusalem What do you think about that? I mean, take, if that was you, would you hesitate? Wouldn't you say, I really don't want to go there and die? I mean, let's think, if you had a choice, which Jesus did, by the way, if you had a choice of going back on the northern banks of the Sea of Galilee to that town of Capernaum where there was peace and where there was somewhat rest, and you just said, I'm just going to fish and have me a nice quiet life far removed from Jerusalem. I know which one I would really be tempted to take. I'd want to go where it's quiet, where it's restful, where it's peaceful, where there's no drama, where there's no turmoil, where there's no death. I know where I would want to be. But not so with Jesus. Instead of finding a quiet place in Galilee or somewhere else, anywhere, he says, I've come for this one mission, and I will go to the cross because this is why I've come. Jesus, instead of deciding on finding a place where there's no people or few people or there's no cross or there's no death or there's no loss or there's no denial of self, Jesus was by nature a pioneer as the very God who originally left eternity and said, I will come into the world because that is the only way that man will be saved. From the beginning, Jesus was a pioneer, leaving comfort and coming to a place of turmoil. That's what it cost him, but a pioneer is willing to pay the price. He was a pioneer, a traveler. He took the ultimate travel. And he was willing to take up his cross and follow through with his mission, even if it meant pain. And it did mean pain. There was nothing painless about the cross. It was a very painful experience, but Jesus was willing to take up his cross, and he expected the same from his disciples. The final way in Matthew 16, verse 24, that a traveler, a disciple is a traveler, is by simply following Christ. This seems so simple. It seems just so elementary. But you know, when we consider following Christ, it's not just responding to an altar call. It's not just responding to a message that I want to go to heaven, so this is what I have to do. And you go through this process. Listen, following Christ is, it's simply implying that Jesus is going to lead the disciples somewhere he has never been before. If Jesus says the words, follow me, you can believe you're not going to stay where you are. You're not going to live where you've been. Jesus is taking you to another place if you follow him. And Jesus' words, follow me, it really does imply that he is going to lead the follower somewhere that he has not yet been. The disciple is prepared for Christ to lead him to another place. We're even prepared for Christ to lead us to a difficult place where there's no water, like 206 North 5th Street on February the 20th at 10:25 a.m. No water! You know, but it's a lot harder than that. The trials are much more than that to bear. But a disciple, a traveler, it's a pioneer, willing to just scrape together what I need to do, willing to pick myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm willing to just make this thing happen because that's what I do. A disciple is prepared to be led by Christ to difficult places, hard places, and ready to follow Jesus there. I love how the writer of Hebrews describes the saints or the disciples in Hebrews 11:13. Says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I love also how Peter describes this adventure, this journey, this pioneer journey of the disciple. And he says in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, Peter says. abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Both of these verses reveal the identity of disciples. If you are a disciple, you're more than just a follower of Christ. You're a pioneer. You're willing to go on a journey that you don't know the outcome. You can't be sure of the results, but you know, like Abraham, you have trusted God, and you're willing to serve Him, and you're willing to love Him, and you're willing to follow Him, no matter the cost. That is what discipleship is. A disciple is also not made alone, nor is he or she made by merely doing religious things. It's really corny, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just remembered it. Somebody said a long time ago that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's. You've heard it, yes. And yes, I did say corny before that. But you know, being a disciple, you cannot be made a disciple alone, or just by attending a service, or just by doing religious things. Becoming a disciple, it's really a lifelong process of training. If you want to run a marathon, you got to start running 200 feet. If you want to lift, you want to do something in life, you start small. And that's what Jesus is saying. He didn't call Peter overnight, come walk out on this water. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then look what happened. A process of walking with Jesus, of talking with Jesus, of living with Jesus. And like most training, it requires the involvement of others in the process. Here's what I do know about discipleship, is that disciples are made by disciples. There's no other way. There's no other way. Disciples are made by disciples. That's when in His Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Why? Because only disciples can make disciples. If God would send down angels from heaven to make disciples, maybe He would. Angels don't make disciples. Disciples make disciples. Jesus began that awesome truth when He revealed, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I'll help you with that. Discipleship happens with the people you already know. Your circle, we call it. In your circle, the lady at the grocery store. In your circle, your boss or a coworker. In your circle, a church family. In your circle, neighbors. You all have a circle, and in that circle is where God's calling you to make disciples. I love that. I love that because it's the raw expression of the gospel. Sharing with the people you already know the hope that is in you. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to thump on your Bible. You don't have to get in their face. You don't have to be defensive. You don't even have to preach to them just through your life. A disciple can make another disciple. As I close, God is calling you into the frontier. It's a life of faith, a life of determination. It's also a life of obedience. And I can promise you this, He will put other believers into your life who will help you. Again, disciples make disciples. And if as a good traveler you say right here and right now, you don't even have to say it out loud, but I absolutely believe with all my heart that if someone would commit to Jesus, there was no say this prayer, repeat after me these words, this formula. Back in these days, it was simply Jesus said, follow me, and they did. I will make you fishers of men. We think it happens overnight, but it's a process. And I believe Jesus is calling us to begin a process. Some of you are well into that process here this morning. Others of you have just started that process. And still some may not even be in it just yet. But I want to tell you, if you embark on this journey with Jesus, life will absolutely change for you. When you say, God, make me a pioneer, He's not necessarily going to call you away to some foreign land, become some missionary where you have to eat bats and mice.
he might. So be careful. Be willing. What did the missionary say at the banquet Thursday? He's like, he's a missionary to Thailand. I forgot his name. Anyway, great event. One of our churches in Newberry. I've eaten even cobra in Thailand or somewhere over there. He's looked at the menu. Okay, cobra. I'm really getting off now, but anyway, getting off the subject. But he said, how fresh is your cobra? Honest question, I guess. And the man goes, the guy, the chef goes back, and he comes holding a live cobra. Didn't he say that? Dropped the cobra on the floor, and the missionary just jumped up on the table. It was a little too fresh for him, I guess. Give me canned cobra next time, you know. I only want to eat my cobra in a can. Oh, Lord. You know, life is a journey, and the journey has to begin somewhere. And you know where I believe it begins? Right here. I believe it begins here. If we just start seeing things through the lens of Scripture, and we start seeing our circle the way Jesus sees it, then that'll just change everything. If we see ourselves as a disciple who's being made a disciple, who is making other disciples, man, it'll just be heaven on earth. It'll be beautiful. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When does that happen? When people fall in love with one another, fall in love with God, and they're just the body of Christ. What an awesome reflection of the kingdom of God. What an awesome reflection. And it's coming, and it will happen. But let somebody commit to being a pioneer today. Just be a pioneer. Start where you are. Start in your own family. Start in your own home. You don't have to reach anybody else before first reaching your family. Just be a disciple. Make other disciples there. In Jesus' name. I've asked John to get this song. It's just a few minutes. And I was going to encourage everybody to just listen to this song. But actually, at some point during this song, if you say, you know what? I really want to commit my life. Maybe for the first time or you've done it many times before, but I want to commit my life at this point or renew that commitment to just being a pioneer to follow Jesus on life's journey, wherever it takes me from here. I think somebody needs to just really vocalize that. And don't just think it, but there needs to be some kind of expression that says, God, here I am. I mean business with you. Back in the old days growing up, they said, come forward, meaning put one foot ahead of the other to just say, so everybody knows you're serious about it, and you also know it. And so if you would like to do that at some point during this song, I'm just going to open up the altar. You might need to come down and find a place here. You might just need to consecrate yourself again to the Lord. See this as coming to Jesus, if for the first time or for another time. Today, here we come humbly. Make me a pioneer who follows you and who embarks on this journey. This song is for every single one of you. I actually dedicate this song to every single one of you because it speaks to us.
Pioneer. Pioneer. Keep pressing onward beyond your fears. Only the Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer.
Just lift your hands. Let me declare over you tonight.
Pioneer. You're a pioneer. Keep pressing onward. You can't stay here. Only the Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer. You travel light and you travel alone. And when you arrive, nobody knows but your Father in heaven. He is glad you can go, 'cause those who come after you will need the road. You're a pioneer, Keep pressing onward beyond your fears. Only the Father goes before you to your own frontier. You're a pioneer, and what you have done, others will do bigger and better and faster than you. But you can't look back. You can't look back. You can't look back. You gotta keep on pressing through. There's a wilderness pathway.
Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that the very words of that song would just echo and stay with us throughout this day and this week. How you have called us, each and every person, you've called us to this journey, this wilderness pathway, this pioneer, this frontier of a land of anything can happen. And give us, by your Holy Spirit, power, renewed strength, more than any physical strength we could have, the spiritual fervor that compels us to keep going even after we've been knocked down, even after we've had a setback, to keep on pressing toward that mark, that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what pioneers do. That's what disciples do. And just give us a grace like we've never known, to have a change like we've never known, and
walk in such a way we've never known. Thank you, Jesus, that you won't turn any away. If anyone comes to you thirsty, you will give them to drink the water of life. But we have to come. We have to be open to you. We have to say, yes, I will follow you because I heard you call. Let that be the prayer of each and every one. Let that be the prayer of our heart. May the posture of our heart be ever before you, kneeling before you, ready for your call, ready for your work. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.